Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 445. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will send you one. She'll tell you four different ways on how to receive it. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape, and please mention that it's program 445 that you're interested in. If you read our website, you'll see that there are hundreds of other of these messages that you can receive. And you just need to let us know which ones you want, and we'll send it to you. There's no charge, and we don't charge for postage and handling. We have a lot of, we've got some good music, a tremendous message today from the book of Revelation, and whatever the Lord anoints with on this program is what I want to happen, and I'm sure those of you out in radio land want not to hear from any man, but you want to hear from the Lord. And that's why God calls vessels unto him to bring the message, but it's not from us. It's the message that the Holy Spirit, the living waters, pours through us on this said occasion, whenever it is that the Lord wants us to do a message. So you will be hearing from the Lord today or tonight, whenever it is that you're listening to this broadcast. And you should praise and thank the Lord for that and love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, because nobody else in this world is going to tell you the things that are going on and the things that shall surely soon come to pass. The Lord's coming back to earth again, and I'm sure that everyone is going to be vitally interested in that. You should be interested in it right now, because it's going to happen real soon. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask him to anoint this message. Father, you do not want people, there's impossible for people to serve you in the flesh. We must allow your Holy Spirit to enter into us. We must allow Jesus to come into us with you and the Holy Spirit, so that we have the power and the desire to serve you, and the strength. You have stated, John the Baptist stated, that we shall have power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And that's why the people, the disciples, 120 of them, lingered in the upper room in Jerusalem for the purpose of receiving power, the same power that you received from the Holy Spirit when it came down upon you, when John the Baptist was baptizing you in the River Jordan. It came down upon you, the Holy Spirit, like a dove. And as soon as came up from the water, the voice came, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that came down upon you, drove you out to the wilderness so that there could be a record of that you had been tempted with the entire earth, everything in the world by Satan, and you were tempted in every way with gluttony, to cast yourself down, with suicide, and with everything that is in the world, and you rejected it. Lord, we pray that this message will be powerful from you, that the people of the world will begin rejecting themselves. For it is the cross that we carry that rends the flesh, that shreds the flesh, that shreds it to the point to where we no longer care about the things of this earth, because the curtain that covered the most holy place becomes, which is symbolic of flesh. When Jesus died on the cross, the flesh, his flesh was wounded and shredded, and the veil of the temple in the tabernacle was shredded, was split right down from the top to the bottom, and was literally shredded to show that now we must walk by the Spirit, that the flesh, there's no good thing in the flesh at all except your Spirit that enters into us. This, when Christ enters us, when you enter as Jesus, when you, Father, enter with him in the Holy Spirit, we have power to be able to do whatever it is that you want us to do in this world. without weakening. Lord, we ask that you give that power to all the listeners and that you motivate them by the sensation of the Spirit entering into them and the power that enters into them to serve you to the end. Lord, we pray that your souls will be saved and the church strengthened in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And now here I am to sing for you. Where man's love stops is when God's begins. Praise the Lord. We can see so many things that are happening out in the world that makes us to know that the end is at hand. And so we have some testimonies here, or listen to them, and you'll see that souls are being saved by the thousands all over the world through this ministry and many other ministries I hear. And we need to praise and thank the Lord for it. You know, our souls really need to desire the Lord. Well, how can we desire the Lord unless you see that he's doing something in your life? And there's nothing that the Lord can do in your life unless you let him in. And you can't know the things that the Lord will do for you unless you read his word. That, when you read the word of God, you're reading Jesus. And there's no way that you can know him or to love him or to desire him unless you read the word. And so we also need to trust him. And how can we trust him unless we experience many deliverances from him? I've been delivered so many times by the Lord down through these 43 years that I've known him and knew that he existed. Finally, 43 years ago, I was 30 years old, the Lord came down and made his presence known to me as never before. I've never known. I never believed that God could actually talk and hear and pull the breath out of your body like he did to me in that office in Beverly Hills, and how he could motivate me to throw away the things that I had in the world. And I was just really coming up to incredible fame so far as being a promoter or a person that is a manager of superstars and also the distribution of music and also running my own record companies. And the movie industry was very much interested in me in many different other ways. But so I trust him now because in 43 years, I've been challenged, tempted. The Lord tries our reins to see what kind of metal we're made out of. And I believe in him so much that no matter what the trials and tribulations were, even to this very day, it's mounting up. The trials and tribulations begin to get more and more. And as long as I talk to the Lord and he tells me to be steadfast, and if I do, then he'll deliver me, and he does. And therefore, I love the Lord. I cling to the Lord. I trust him, and I desire the Lord to lead, guide, and direct me. So Psalms 63:8 states, "My soul clings to thee, Lord." No more do we dare to be independent of the Lord, because the Lord is God. Nor do we dare serve the Lord according to our ideas or the ideas of our flesh, our soul. Instead of that, really, we follow him on a daily basis because we know that he is the God that delivers. We desire him with fear and trembling. I fear to not do what the Lord says, because I know if I don't, then there won't be any more deliverances. And we're going to be reading from the book of Judges. We're still finishing up with chapter 4, so that we can learn how seven major times in the book of Judges did the people of the Lord turn their back on the Lord. They lost their fear. They lost their trembling. And they trod after their own ways. And God raised up adversity for them to the point that sometimes the adversity would go on for 20 years or 30 years. And the Jews in Egypt went on for many more years than that. And we have gone through many more years than that in this country and in the world today. But the Lord keeps telling me to be steadfast. Don't worry about them, because if you trust me, if you really trust me, and you fear me with fear and trembling, and trod after me very closely, our soul genuinely will cling to the Lord. That's what that means. No more is there independent action on our part. But instead, the way we work is a full surrender to the Lord. Isn't that something? You know, you just can't realize how wonderful it is until you totally surrender your soul over to the Lord and have it shredded to the point. And the way that that happens is when you take up the cross and you really put the cross to the world, to your flesh, and to your soul, so that you're walking by the Spirit. The Lord will, there's no way that you can possibly serve the Lord when you're in your spirit and your soul are clinging together. You have to give up your soul life or your flesh life, deny yourself, and take up the cross and follow the Lord. Now, it seems hard to do, but once the Spirit is in you, you'll have power to do that. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll have power to serve the Lord. So what we need in order for us to get a phenomenal answer from the Lord and a deliverance, a victory from God, is to totally surrender ourselves unto him. This can't be by compulsion. In other words, you hear this message and then you decide tonight, "Oh, I'm really going to serve the Lord." I know. It's not a compulsive thing. It's a thing that we do gladly. It has to be a thing that you gladly surrender unto the Lord. It isn't a grudging thing. Because if you serve the Lord and you're grudgingly doing it, then there's no reward whatsoever. The Lord loves a ungrudging soul, one that even when it comes to giving finances unto the Lord, and I'm not a person to preach finances, you don't hear that, but the Lord knows that he has a surrendered soul when they give up their wealth, they hand it over to him, and then God gives them thousands of times more, millions of times more than what they ever would have had if they kept clinging on to the things of this world, finances and things like that. It's because, you know, when you give up what you have, the Lord blesses you. But we do it gladly. What we henceforth hate is something that it must be our own life, our own lifestyle, our own ideas. Not the Lord's life. We don't want to give that up. If you give up the Lord's life, well, then there's no possibility for you to have anything in this world but misery. What we entirely love is the Lord and his life. His life is the important thing. Now, we have some testimonies. Where's the first one from, please?
From Uganda, Africa.
Okay, let me hear what they have to say.
Dear Pastor Alamo, greetings to you in the holy name of Jesus. I'm happy to inform you that your literature is doing a lot of good works in lives of God's people here. I have distributed your literature with my team to very many places, like Bule, Tororo, Busia, and many other small places. I would like to inform you that God is doing works, and many people are seeing God's hand on them through your literature. In this letter, I would also like to thank you for the CDs which you sent to me. I received them in good condition, and when taken to the video, people really enjoyed your good works that God is doing in you. I have therefore felt led to request from you more boxes of literature, Messiah books, Bibles, all kinds of CDs and tapes, and medium-sized T-shirts. Lastly, I have taken a keen interest for you to train me to be under you, and that you would allow me to operate this mission in Uganda. I also request a camera so I can start sending you photographs about the work I do here. Please also send me a copy of the Constitution of the Alamo Christian Ministries. May God bless you in whatever you are doing for God's people. Your brother in the Lord, Boniface from Bale, Uganda, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So as we ungrudgingly, that's a wonderful letter. I love that. It's always cheers my heart up tremendously and makes it swell up with the Holy Spirit when I see people being saved from the literature that the Lord has given me, because then I know it came completely from the Lord. It's another miracle of encouragement and knowledge in that I'm surrendered unto the Lord because I'm receiving these messages. So as we ungrudgingly obey the Holy Spirit, the communion between the Holy Spirit and the holiest place in us, because in my Father's house are many mansions. I hear so many people saying that God went away to build a mansion for them. That isn't us. In my Father's house is me, and he wants to use you for a mansion here. It's in my Father's house. In other words, where my Father, the living God, lives is in many human beings, many mansions. Amen?
Amen.
So as we ungrudgingly obey the Holy Spirit and the communion between He, the Holy One, and the Holiest, that is us, that where He dwells, His mansions, where His mansions, His houses, the holiest grows deeper. In other words, the room that God lives in, which is us, grows deeper. day by day until we experience a great change in us. It is the cross which affects the rending or the shredding of our flesh. We have to carry the cross in order for our flesh to be subdued to the point to where we take it up and we can deny ourselves. If we don't carry a cross, if we are living, so to speak, high on the hog, like the elite in this world do, when there's no shredding of the cross, which is the effects, the rending of the curtain. When Jesus died, that was his flesh that died. The spirit that was in him is the Holy Spirit. He was God-man. The spirit in him did not die. It was just the flesh. He was a man. He came into this world with genuine human flesh and blood. It was not a special kind of blood. It was a real blood, a genuine human blood that he shed on the cross. And he genuinely lived by the power of the Holy Spirit and by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The Word of God is that, and the Word of God is Jesus. He is, the Bible says, the Word of God. So when we want to know Jesus better, we study him, the Word. So the rending of the curtain, that has to be rent, which is symbolic. The curtain is symbolic of our flesh. And it's the cross which affects the rending of the curtain, or the shredding of the curtain. That is, the cross, the way that it functions in the life of the believer, the Christian, we have to know how why we have to take up the cross. It's because we have to deny, we have to let our flesh be rent, shredded, in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. Without the cross, without obeying the Lord when he says, "Now, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, and take up your cross, deny yourself daily, take up the cross and follow me." Well, when we take up the cross and deny ourselves, that means that our flesh is being put under the power of the cross. The cross is, that's what the function of the cross is in the life of a believer. The Christian, the Christian has a rent curtain experience, a shredded curtain experience. In other words, your flesh, it gets rent or shredded. So we have that kind of a shredding or renting of the flesh experience between our spirit that lives in us and our soul or our flesh. A Christian's nature life renounce is independent. The flesh wants its independence and waits upon the spirit life for direction and supply of the Lord's power within us. The curtain was torn in two, quote, from the top to the bottom in Mark 15:38. In other words, there wasn't any part of the curtain between the most holy place and the holy place. There wasn't, there's this curtain, and there wasn't even one fabric, one thread that wasn't rent. It was split right down the middle because it's showing us what Jesus did on the cross. And Jesus and is telling us what's going to happen to us. He says the flesh profits nothing. Amen?
Amen.
It is the spirit that gives life. All those that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit, not in the flesh. In spirit and in truth. Okay? This has to be God's doing. This is His doing, not man's. Because if we operate in the flesh, then we're just like everybody else in the world. It is not by man's power or by man's legs or might, but it's by His Spirit fused with our spirit that we're able to serve the Lord and please Him. We have to let the Holy Spirit work in us, in our spirit. The cross, in other words, the way that we do that is by taking up the cross and denying ourselves. That's the secret, is to deny yourself and take up the cross and follow the Lord. That is the work in us. The cross works that in us. He demands that we take up the cross and follow Him. That's a commandment, a demanding commandment, to follow the Lord, to take up the cross and follow Him. And that's what we have to do if we want to enter heaven. Because you're not going to get into a life of luxury or a life of the flesh and get into heaven. It's just impossible. If we do take up the cross, there is a curtain rending. In other words, your flesh is going to be shredded. It's going to be rent from the top to the bottom. And you're going to start living by the Spirit. When the work of the cross is finished, when the work of the cross is finally finished, God tears the curtain. Oh, you're liable to go through, just like myself and many other Christians, you're liable to go through a lot of fire. Because we have to be like gold, and the only way that we can be like pure gold is to go through fire. Fire! Take up the cross and follow me. This cannot be achieved either by our labors or by our strength, not even by our entreating, not even by our prayers. I mean, you know, you can pray all day long. The Pope prays. All these false people, they pray. They are not saved. The Spirit of the Lord is not entered into them, and nor do they ever want the Spirit of the Lord to enter them, and therefore they cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, because the Bible says that there's only one way to get into the kingdom of heaven, and that is through His Son, Christ Jesus. There's no other name given among men whereby you must be saved but the name of Jesus, all right? Mm-hmm. You know, so many people are praying to Mary and Buddha and all these other people that have no life in them whatsoever. Mary died. She's in heaven, all right, and she was a good lady, and she was the one that brought forth Jesus into the world. But it was the Lord that put the Spirit in Him, amen? Amen. It was the Lord that was living in Him. The moment the cross accomplishes its work or God's work in you, at that moment is the curtain rent or shredded. Your flesh is shredded. Every time you do it, the Lord says, which is against your will, but it's the Lord's will, you're shredded. You're rent. In other words, torn from the top to the bottom. We must therefore renew our consecration and offer ourselves to God without reservation, without grudgingly doing it, because God loves a cheerful giver. We must give ourselves to the Lord cheerfully, even though it is a renting, shredding situation. Okay? So, without reservation, on a day-to-day basis, we must be willing. We must be willing to have our soul life committed to death in our order that the Lord, who dwells in the holiest, that is, way into our spirit, may finish his work in and through us. He wants to take over our entire life. He wants to live out his life in us and through us. I mean, we're just a house for him to live in. We're a temple. In my Father's house, where he houses himself, are many millions of people, are many mansions. Amen?
Amen?
If the Lord observes that the cross has brought forth thoroughly in us enough, the Lord shall indeed integrate the holiest, our spirits, and the holy God within us, just as he did centuries ago, rent the curtain by his might, so that his Holy Spirit might flow out from his glorious body. If you don't rent your flesh, if you don't rent, if you don't deny the flesh, take up the cross and follow the Lord, then the Lord can't enter into you. There has to be a splitting open of you in order for God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to enter into you. And if he enters you, then he can start doing his work in you. His Spirit will flow out from his glorious body. Well, are you saying, Tony, that we're the body of Christ? Yes, indeed. The Lord says that in his word. That is, if we're torn enough completely to where he can enter into us and be our power. He can be his power in and through us, so that people can see that truly the Lord is alive and in the world today. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to do that willingly, not grudgingly. A lot of people, they get so uptight when they figure they can't have their own way. Or when people don't believe their lies. When people can, because of the fact that the Holy Spirit is living in you, that you can detect their faults. They hate that. And we, the Spirit in us, detects their faults because the Lord wants those faults to be taken away from you. And it's not happening because you're not taking up the cross and following the Lord. You haven't surrendered your entire life over to the Lord. That's quite simple, isn't it?
Yes.
So, thus shall his glory in the shelter of the Most High overwhelm our daily sensuous life. All our want and worth in the holy place shall be sanctified. Absolutely sanctified in the holiest. What is the holiest? That's our spirit. Where the Holy One lives in us, the holy place in our tabernacle. He's not going to live in our soul. He's going to live in our spirit. That's the holiest place. Amen?
Amen.
That's how he enters into us and works in us. Like our spirit is. Like our spirit is, so shall our soul as well be indwelt and regulated by the Holy Spirit of God. So God not only wants to take over our spirit, but he wants to take over our soul. Once our soul, our spirit is filled with him, then he fills our soul, and then our body becomes a complete sacrifice. Our heart, our soul, our body, our flesh, everything becomes under the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God. Our mind, our emotions, our will shall be filled by him. Everything in us. That's total surrender. Amen?
Amen.
We're not going to begrudge the Lord of saying deny yourself of this or that and say no. How do you expect? The Lord says that we must be obedient to him. What I've mentioned by faith in the Spirit, everyone can now also know and experience in the soul. If I'm telling you these things and you live by them, well, then you know something that is most people don't know at all. There can't be anything lacking, and there can't be anything lost. If you lose the former life or your flesh life, there's nothing lost because, as the Lord said, the flesh profits nothing. Amen?
Amen.
So the only thing that the flesh can profit is when it's being totally controlled by the Holy Spirit. When the flesh is denied, when it's rent, when it's shredded by taking up the cross and following the Lord. What a blessed life it is for us to live. All right, we have another testimonial. Where's this one from?
From Andhra Pradesh, India.
All right, let's hear what they have to say.
Dear beloved brother Tony Alamo, grace and peace be to you in the name of our gracious and merciful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Recently, we received a box of your literature entitled Dry Bones and Earthquake, with 10 Bibles included. We enjoyed them so much. Many thanks for your great help to win many lost souls in India. As a team of 15 pastors, we already distributed your powerful literature among our people in the marketplaces. We won 50 souls by distributing your literature. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We request you please send some t-shirts and sweatshirts in black and white. Please also send your literature continuously. May God bless and keep you in his care to be used as a powerful instrument for the glory of the Almighty. Please help us in prayer for the Lord's work we are doing in India. A servant of God, Reverend S. Rao from Ainapuram, Andhra Pradesh, India.
These are wonderful letters. You know, let's everybody pray for these people that are doing such a tremendous job across the pond, and also those that are doing such a tremendous job here in the United States. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, says, and glory of the Lord filled the temple. Well, that's what the Lord wants to do with us, the temples of God. He wants the glory of the Lord to fill us. And that's when people can tell that we're really of the Lord. And God gets glory when people see people that have totally surrendered their lives unto the Lord. So the glory of the Lord, it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple, which was man-made temple back then, but now the Lord has made us his temples, filled the temple, and the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. So the priests were filled with sin back then, and the Lord doesn't want any sin to dwell in the house, in the most holy place. And so therefore, we have to not allow any sin to enter our spirit. We have to do as the Lord says, take up the cross and follow him, and the glory of the Lord will fill us, the temple. And the priests or no other evil thing can enter into. Some of these priests were not that great, like Eli and even Aaron did things that were wrong, but we can't allow that now because we have the power of God on us. And the Shekinah glory is living in us. And he will remain living in us if we continue carrying the cross on a daily basis and denying ourselves on a daily basis. Because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house, and priests cannot, and nothing can enter into your soul when the glory of the Lord is living in you. Amen?
Amen.
And there's nothing to be angry about or grudging about, because if you love the Lord, then you're so happy that he's living in you and giving you all this power that no satanic thing can enter in. How could you begrudge the Lord of something like that? You couldn't. You couldn't even get into into the most holy place at all. The priest couldn't. You'd be slain in the spirit. And that's what we must be. Amen?
Amen.
How lovely our activities of priestly service may have seemed in the holy place. They all shall cease in the glorious light of God. Therefore, His glory governs everything in us and through us so that He can get glory because of the fact that people see that there are people in this world that are denying the sex, the filth, the drugs, the everything, and trusting Him, no matter if this world is shaken off of its axis. We will trust and serve the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So, His glory governs everything. His power is to govern everything. He governs the world and the whole universe. So you might as well let Him govern you, because you can see how glorious the universe is. You can time it like a time clock. Everything happens just exactly the same way. We can even predict when the sun's coming up and when it's going down and when the moon comes up and what kind of a moon it's going to be. Years in advance, that's how precise God's glory is. And so we can know that God, by His Spirit governing the entire universe, that by His power to do something like that, He certainly has the power to govern our lives. Amen?
Yeah.
And so we can be perfect. You know, you hear all these false preachers saying that no one is perfect. If you're walking in the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God, His glory is governing you as He does the entire universe, and there's no more soul or fleshy activity in you. Therefore, this brings us to the other side, and equally significant. So this aspect is significant, this aspect of the dividing of the spirit and soul, insofar as the soul's influence and control of the spirit is concerned. We have allowed the Lord to master us as He does the universe. The work of the cross is to affect the division of the two. But insofar as the spirit's filling and reigning is concerned, the cross works towards the surrender of the soul's independence so that it may be reconciled completely to the Holy Spirit. And now we're going to start reading again from the fourth chapter of Judges to show that these people were serving the Lord at one time and then they turned their back on the regimentation of the Holy Spirit, and they didn't want to, you know, serve the Lord, but they were serving the Lord to their own will, and then God put together an environment for them that they didn't like, to the point to where it was so bad, the living experiences like we're experiencing today. And remember, Daniel even had to go in exile with all the other sinful Jews and the four Hebrew children. They all had to go, and Isaiah and Jeremiah and all of them were under the thumb of Nebuchadnezzar. And the same thing can happen to you, but they were led, they were anointed with the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
It wasn't living in them, but they were able to endure. So all these Jews in chapter 4, here's another time that they started walking according to the soul, or the flesh, rather than by the spirit. And go ahead and read what happens. You might as well start from the top again.
And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali, and of the children of Zebulun? And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if
now you see, they cried unto the Lord, and the Lord raised up a deliverer. So if everyone in the world, instead of being deceived by the devil, by satanic powers like these people were, yet they cry unto the Lord, you'd see an end to all the disasters that are happening in the world today. But the people of the world are not going to do that, because the Bible plainly states that God is going to pour out his wrath. There's 7 plagues. It's building up to the 7 major plagues. And then after those, there's the 2 witnesses come on the scene. And then there's 7 other final major plagues, and this earth is even going to be moved off of its axis. Stars are going to be falling from heaven. You've seen the order of the Lord that he has. It's like I mentioned before, that it's very precise precision. You can count on it. Well, because of the fact that people don't submit themselves unto the cross, and deny their flesh and take up the cross on a daily basis, God's going to show you how when he goes out of control for you, he's going to let chaos happen on this earth that you can't believe. Then you're going to be saying, oh, why are you doing this, God? But the book of Judges and all throughout the Bible, it tells us why he does these things. And it's not Mother Nature, dear heart. It's not Mother Nature. It's God Almighty doing this in hopes that you'll get on your knees and start crying out to him and repent and take up the cross and follow him and rend your flesh. Let it just, let the Spirit, the Word, the cross, the self-denial do that for you so that you can be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, continue on.
And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go, but if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman.
So, you know, God drove the giants out of Canaan land with some hornets, and now he's going to get rid of this particular oppressor that he had risen up himself. By a woman. Okay, then what?
And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh.
Okay.
And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. And he went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. Now Heber the Kenite, which was of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenites, and pitched his tent unto the plain of Zaanaim, which is by Kadesh. And they showed Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, was gone up to Mount Tabor. And Sisera gathered together...
Well, I've been up to Mount Tabor. That's one of the steepest mountains I've ever been up in my life. And I come from Montana. And, you know, I know what a steep mountain is like. That Tabor is the most dangerous thing. It's got a little tiny road that only a little car can go up. If another one starts coming down the hill on you, I don't know what you'd do. And you can look straight down, and it seems like it's a mile down, and very like a dirt road. Go ahead.
And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron.
Now, this Sisera, of course, is the bad guy that God's going to have annihilated through a woman. Then what?
And all the people that were with him from Harosheth of the Gentiles unto the river Kishon. And Deborah said unto Barak, Up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor.
See, they repented, and the Lord was going out before them. Amen?
Amen.
Boy, I'll tell you, the whole world could be mad at me, but I don't want God to be angry with me.
Amen.
You know, you can call on God if everyone in the world is against you, but what can you do when God is against you? Okay, then what? And he claimed, and he says, I'm going to kill you. Then what? And that's what God's going to do to a lot of evil people on this earth. He's going to kill you if you don't repent. Then what?
So Barak went down from Mount Tabor and 10,000 men after him. And the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his host with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. But Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host unto Harosheth of the Gentiles. And all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. Howbeit Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin the king of Hazor and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera, and said unto him, Turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. And when he had turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said unto her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk, and gave him drink, and covered him. Again he said unto her, Stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be, when any man doth come and inquire of thee, and say, Is there any man here? That thou shalt say, No. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent, and took an hammer in her hand, and went softly unto him, and smote the nail into his temples, and fastened it into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died.
So just as Deborah predicted or prophesied, Israel was saved, and this woman, Jael, got credit for it. Amen?
Amen.
That's wonderful. So Christians must seek to experience oneness of spirit and soul. They must be one with the Lord. But the Spirit has to be in charge, never the soul. We can't let the soul run the spirit or our flesh. Okay, keep going.
And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said unto him, Come, and I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples. So God subdued on that day Jabin the king of Canaan before the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin the king of Canaan until they had destroyed Jabin king of Canaan.
Now that happened only because of the fact that the people of Israel denied themselves in their own ways, and they took up the cross, or what is symbolic of taking up the cross. They started following what the Lord had to say, and that is the cross, is to deny yourself. And then God rescued them. He delivered them by the hand of this female. Well, my time is up, and we have, every time I end one of these programs, I ask people to deny yourself. Come to the cross now. Come to where Jesus died and allow yourself to be nailed there as well. But the Lord says for us to take up our own cross and follow him. So the way that we start, that you want to start out doing this, is to say this prayer to the Lord. Say to the Lord, My Lord and my God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy former sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands and praise the Lord. If you're driving, don't do it. Just pull over to the side or something. And Sharon, tell them four different ways on how to receive a copy of this message, number 445.
Go to AlamoMinistries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Thanks for listening. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, tune in tomorrow for another powerful message of direction and of showing you how you must follow the Lord to enter heaven. Now, Ezekiel saw a wheel. Now, this a lot of people are seeing flying saucers today. And these flying saucers are not from another planet, but they're from heaven. Sue and I prayed to see them, and immediately they came down and just actually dive-bombed our car. They just came so close to the windshield, it was just unbelievable. They didn't bomb us, but they came down in a gesture to fear and to make sure that I, with my bad eyes, could see them. And I saw a fleet of them, and so did Susie. And this is what this song is all about. It's the Dixie Hummingbirds, which is one of my very favorite groups, to sing Ezekiel Saw the Wheel.
Ezekiel saw the wheel.
He saw a wheel.
Where in the middle of the air?
Ezekiel saw the wheel.
He saw a wheel.
In the middle of the air?
Yes, sir.
Ezekiel saw the wheel.
He saw that wheel.
Where in the middle of the air?
Ezekiel saw the wheel.
In the middle of the air.
These mornings about 5 o'clock.
In the middle of the air.
Don't go well, it is so well. The cold wheel in the rock, you know.
In the middle of the air.
Yes, sir.
Ezekiel saw the wheel.
He saw that wheel.
Where in the middle of the air.
Ezekiel saw the wheel.
In the middle of the air.
I've told you once and I've told you twice.
Don't you go in the middle of the air.
And all of them sins go to hell for rolling in the eyes, you know.
In the middle of the air.
Yes, and
Ezekiel saw the wheel.
He saw that wheel.
Where in the middle of the air.
Ezekiel saw the wheel.
In the middle of the air.
Oh, when I get up on the mountaintop.
Don't you go
in the middle of the air.
Oh, come you make my wing go flipping your flop, you know.
In the middle of the air.
Yes, and
Ezekiel saw the wheel.
He saw that wheel.
Where in the middle of the air.
Ezekiel saw the wheel.
In the middle of the air.